Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
To me, the whole thing with the finger under between the legs, antiquated.
Archaic.
Oh, it is.
I mean, the whole thing is freaking silly.
Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
That's hour number two, Felger and Mass, Roddy, Mass, and Murray back in our temporary Town for Tire Studios in Needham. I am remote on a horrible connection. I apologize 1,000%. I'm still trying to figure this out to get on the regular broadcast unit, but this is what we got so far. This is what we got to this juncture. So we just got to put up with it. Felger in the dumpster or in the dumper. Felger in the crapper is what it sounds like via Zoom. But we started with Red Sox because, I don't know, I'm not even a Red Sox fan, and that the way the weekend went kind of pissed me off. You know, I'm not a Red Sox fan, but it's in my interest for them to be good and, you know, everything to be relevant. And they should be better and more relevant than they are. It wasn't that hard. And this weekend showed you. Tommy fam, or you got a legit first baseman. You're getting some guys back healthy. Like, that's nothing to bitch about. But it wasn't that hard for them to have a representative roster. And it wasn't the players didn't need to go that deep into the tank after the trade deadline. You should be in it, and you should be having a baseball season now, and you're really kind of on the outside of it, and that sucks. And so we're sort of bitching about that to start the program. 617-779-0985. Dean in Shrewsbury, go ahead.
I'm with you 100%, Mavs. They shouldn't have these minor leaguers be filling in because they're constantly chasing good money after bad. Now, they wanted, I just heard today from you guys, they wanted Tommy Pham during the offseason. Now they had to get rid of assets to get him back and get the same price. Now, they had Eric Hosmer at first base. How long has that been an issue? They're constantly trying to cheap out, and then a year or two later trying to fix what the problems they created by cheaping out.
And I can feel that one coming, Maz. I can feel that one coming, as Buster only sort of alluded to in that report. Can't you feel another course correction coming if this thing, you know, really hits the skids down the stretch?
Yes, totally. I mean, so again, look, and just to clarify the point on Tommy Pham, the Red Sox brought in Rob Refsnyder to be a right-handed hitting outfielder against left-handed pitching. But they didn't put him on the big league roster. So again, they even had a guy at a lesser cost. And Refsnyder's played in the big leagues. But they started the season with Christian Arroyo and Wright. By the time they brought Refsnyder up, it was how far into the season? How many games did that one take? So they didn't even have a right-handed hitting outfielder to start the year. And the inconsistency of the approach is the maddening part. So they'll sign Trevor Story, and again, there's a Bogarts element there. But and you'll have J.D. Martinez and Bogarts and Devers and Story and Chris Sale and all these contracts, and then you'll surround them with minor leaguers? What is the logic there? When you could have had Tommy Pham for $6 million, why not just bite the bullet and get Tommy Pham in here?
Peter's in Exeter. He's up next. Go ahead, Peter.
Yeah, how you doing? I just want to know, I know you hate to cross sports, but I want to know if there's a disconnect between the front office and the fans, and I listen to you guys every day, and I want to know, like, we look at it every day. We look at the Red Sox. We look at what they didn't do at the trade deadline. We look at Joe Judge. I'm a Giants fan. I don't understand what the teams are doing.
Let me stop. I guess he's talking about all four teams, but Maz, why did you scoff to begin?
Because there is a disconnect between the Red Sox and their fans. And I think they and I don't know if it's in baseball ops or beyond that, and it's got to be both. But I think that there has to be, you got to sell them the team a little bit. And when I say that, I mean, you need stars here. You got to have some stars. And I know the winning means a lot, Mike. But let's face it, most years you're not going to win the championship. There's got to be a reason to engage beyond that. And you can't just fill it with minor leaguers the whole time the way you did in Tampa. So, and I'm picking on Bloom here, but I think that there's a real disconnect between how Bloom wants to run the baseball operation and what is expected by the fan base here in this market in terms of a competitive product. That is a major freaking disconnect. Massive.
Nixon Quincy's got a thought on Rafi Devers. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, Mike. Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'll make this short and sweet. Watching Devers' home run last night, that one swing, and it's kind of been all season, and I don't know, Tony, you might be able to answer this better than I can, but it resembles a lot like Manny Ramirez, and I'm not comparing the two whatsoever, but the way it's so effortless and his whole flashiness afterwards, I don't know, I'd like to hear your take on that and what you think about Devers kind of comparing to Manny Ramirez. I'll hang up and listen to your take. Thanks, boys.
All right, go ahead, Mass.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, to me, there's not a huge comparison with Manny. You know, Manny had discipline. Manny was really skilled. And Devers is a skilled bat-to-ball guy. To me, the only comp I can give you for Devers, he's more like Vladimir Guerrero Sr., who will swing at anything in and out of the strike zone, but he was so gifted when it came to putting the bat on the ball that he could hit it. So the traditional rules don't apply to a guy like Devers. Like that pitch last night, you would tell most guys not to swing at that because you're not going to hit it. And you're certainly not going to hit it the way he hit it. So I think he's a little bit of a freak. And I wouldn't compare him to anybody.
Here's Devin in Connecticut. Devin, what would you do with Xander Bogaerts?
Me personally, I'll let him walk. I feel like in a contract year, he's kind of dropped the ball, not really put to his best. You let Travis Story play short, move Kike back to second, and try to find yourself a third outfielder to go at Pham and Verdugo, and try to see if you can make some noise next year in the AL East.
Okay, Devin. Maz, do you think the Red Sox will hold this year against Xander Bogaerts, the way he's played recently, the way he's sort of carried himself, which, again, we think is justified because the team sort of beat him down over the years. But, you know, they're going to look at it a different way. Do you think the Red Sox are going to hold this year against Xander Bogaerts?
Yes, and they should. I mean, again, he doesn't have to opt out. So let's not forget that he's got a six-year contract at $20 million per. He's got 3 years and, three times 20 left after this season. He doesn't have to opt out, right? He could stay in, collect the $20 million per for the next 3 years, make himself $60 million. The only reason to opt out is if he thinks he can do better than that. So I would say to Bogaerts, if he was a $30 million player before this season, he's got 9 home runs and 49 RBI. He's not a $30 million player anymore, not in my mind.
Here's Bob in Chestnut Hill. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to, agree that I would let Xander go. I think he's on the downward, he's on the decline. Now, in the offseason, if you look at the list of impending free agents, there's a tremendous amount of talent out there. And it is conceivable, I don't know how likely it is, that Bloom's concept here was to get a lot of the high payroll off the books and replace it with other high payroll players that are better. And I think there are several options. Trey Turner, Carlos Correa at shortstop, Wilson Contreras at catcher. You can go right down the list, and pitchers as well.
Okay, let me just stop you there. So, Maz, you're okay if they let these guys walk, but sign other big money players. Like, we all should be okay with that, right?
Yes.
Simple as that. Do you think they will?
I think that they may in some cases and may not in others. And when I say that, I mean, it would not shock me if they have a different plan in place for Bogaerts. Devers is going to be a tougher pull, okay, just because of the uniqueness of the bat and the age and everything else. So the only other variable you got to factor in, if you're them, because we've seen Red Sox teams make mistakes in the past with this sort of thing, is guys who can do it here versus do it in other places. Okay, it's one thing to do it when you are playing in a market with no pressure, no interest, and no expectation. Whether or not it's the same here or not, it's still different than Tampa. And so, you know, if you bring in a guy with the idea that he is going to be a centerpiece guy in your lineup, that's fine. JD Martinez made the jump without any difficulty whatsoever. Some guys will, but you got to spend time identifying that too.
Alan's in Florida. Hi, Alan.
Hello, Mike. Mads, let me ask you a question. You get an opinion on a guy. You were convinced Mookie Betts didn't want to stay in Boston. Convinced of it, even though I told you I have a little inside info, with, I don't want to go into it, that he said he would have stayed here. Andrew Benintendi, not a good player. I'd take Andrew Benintendi any day of the week over all of a sudden Tommy Fien, you know, run-of-the-mill utility player is a hero. Yeah, he's playing well. But Hunter Renfroe for Jackie Bradley Jr., I mean, what is this team doing? They are going to sign Devers. They have to. You know, we know about advertising dollars. If they lose Bogaerts and Devers...
Hey, Alan, give me one point.
...advertising and Nesson is going to work out.
Alan, give me one point. Give me a theme. Give me. You're just rambling with different things. Give me something.
I'm giving you something... that this team right now is just so bad. Mike, if they lose Bogaerts and they lose J.D. Martinez is gone, what is this team going to look like next year? They're going to sign...
Okay, Maz, what's it going to look like next year?
Okay, so his subject line said they let too many good players go. And I would say, agreed. I agree. It's a tough place to integrate young players and have them be centerpiece guys. It's just hard to do. It's too difficult to do. The way to integrate young players here is to put them around a nucleus of veterans that can carry them. So, like, I'll just use with you Jaren Duran for an example, okay? And this has nothing to do whether I like Jaren Duran as a player or I don't, because I don't. But Jaren Duran batting ninth in a lineup with Tommy Pham and Eric Hosmer and everybody else, fine. No problem. You want to carry him and see if he can play in the big leagues? Fine. You did it with Dustin Pedroia. You did it with Jacoby Ellsbury. Now, I happen to think, I personally think they were way better players than this kid. But the point is, if you think he's a prospect and you want him to play in the big leagues and you want to bring him to Boston to find out, well, then hit him at the bottom of the lineup and surround him with guys who are big league players so we're not looking at him expecting something all the time. That way he's not affecting the outcome of games by losing balls in the sky or whatever else and having bad at-bats and bickering with fans in the center field stands in Kansas City. So that's the way to do it. Once you put him in center field and he's your leadoff guy and you have Franchy Cordero at first base and you have Jackie Bradley in right, and now all of a sudden, you know, now there's a lot more being asked of him, it becomes, now we're looking at three or four spots in the lineup and going, what the hell is this? So I just think that he's gotten, you know, they've gotten way too cavalier with the whole approach of, well, let's just throw a guy out there and see how he does because the numbers suggest he'll provide average production. I don't care what the numbers say. I've seen it too many times. You take a young guy and throw him into a big market, whether it's L.A. or Boston or Chicago or anywhere else, and you ask him to be productive in a tough division with other big market teams, you're asking for trouble.
All right, back with more right after this.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
It's Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
The most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
Some sort of quid pro quo there.
Felger.
Like, well, but, excuse me.
And Mass.
Excuse me.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right now, it's a chip shot for Graham Gano. From 24 yards away, the kick lifted to the uprights. And on the final play of the preseason opener, the Giants have won it. Thanks to the swing of the right leg by Graham Gano. New York 23 and the Patriots 21.
All right, this is a re-entry Monday for all of us, especially Maz, who wasn't here on Friday, so hasn't had a chance to react to the Patriots' first preseason game and all the attendant storylines. So, Maz, what'd you make of Thursday? What do you think?
That kick cost me $4. I put down $100 on a parlay that night with the Red Sox, who were playing the Orioles, and I took the Pats because everybody was on the Giants. I said, I smell a rat. I put them together, and that jackass Graham Gano kicked it through the uprights. Otherwise, I'd have had 4-1 on that 100. So there you go. That's the last time I bet preseason football.
Serves you right.
What else, Maz? No, outside of so outside of your pocketbook.
Okay. So, look, everybody's talking about Tyquan Thornton, which I get, because we're all so desperate for the Patriots to have to actually draft someone who can catch the football as a wide receiver now, that we will cling on to any sliver of hope or shred of hope. And he was fine. There were a couple of plays there. I like the fact that he caught the touchdown, too, and broke away from a guy and actually had the strength to get out of someone's grasp, which is a good sign for someone who's built with popsicle sticks and toothpicks. So that's a good sign. But this idea that it feels to me like this, because everyone is so desperate for this kid to be something, that his performance in the game, I think, is getting wildly overplayed. So do I think he's got potential? Sure. Yeah. We'll see. Hard to know, again, when he's playing against King Philip High School out there on Thursday night, because that's what that was. And also, the first ball, I think, of the game that was thrown his way, because the first catch was the touchdown, might have been the second ball after the touchdown, but there was a ball down the sideline that Hoyer put. I thought, well, it's a little underthrown, so Thornton had to come back for it a little bit, and the defender got his hand in there. But he didn't exactly fight for the ball. He didn't go up and get it. And on the very next play, I think it was, Hoyer threw a similar pass to Wilkerson, and the defensive back got his hand in there again, and Wilkerson made the catch. So I look at it and say, okay, like let's not get too crazy about Thornton when Wilkerson made a play that the kid can't, and we all know that Wilkerson is a borderline NFL wide receiver at best, maybe the fifth guy if he ever sneaks onto the roster. So I just thought the game, look, it was impossible almost to gauge anything in that game because of the people that were out there. There were very few regulars that played in that game. I tried to watch the ones that interested me, and mostly the rookies. I was pleasantly surprised to see that Strange was on the field. I know the last time I talked to you guys, we weren't expecting Strange.
Right, he wasn't on Mike Reese's pregame depth chart.
Right, yeah. So there was a chance he was not going to play at all, so great. I'm glad he was out there. I didn't get a great read on his ability to play, and it's hard to do when he doesn't have regulars around him. But, Thornton was an easy one to watch, and, there was one other player, not to sound like Bedard, who caught my attention on the field. And that was Kajust, because he looks like he has absolutely put some time in the weight room. That guy is freaking gigantic now. I don't remember him being that big. But on Thornton, let's not go too far. I mean, again, he was okay.
Yeah, but you understand why people are geeked up, though. I mean, it's a relatively high pick for them. And the last one that they took real high looked like he had two left feet. So at least it looks like this kid might be able to play.
So, and that's my point, Murray. It's a low bar. And we're desperate for it. right? We want speed. We want playmaking. We want big play capability. We want some explosiveness. We want all of that. And this kid's got some speed. Great. He's really, really whittle. He's a whittle guy.
I don't know. The body doesn't look like he'd be able to handle a full season, especially if they're going to try to use him in the slot or anything like that. He's thin.
So, Mike, look, I'd be eager to your impressions on him. I mean, again, I thought, you know, there were some things to like there. But, you know, let's face it, as much as it's a different game now, you still got to be strong and have some size to play in that league. And I think that's going to be the challenge for him.
So I liked him. The legs were impossible to ignore. I mean, just you don't see calves like that at the NFL level very often. You just don't see guys who have that sort of build. So, like, that's unconventional. But part of me says, well, good. That's why teams ignored him. That's why he was in the second round, not the first round. And let everyone, you know, over sort of emphasize. So what? A guy's supposed to have, I bet N'Keal Harry had great calves. I bet he had really strong, muscular. I thought he had great stems. He looked like an NFL player. Guy can't play, you know? So it's like, all right, so he looks a little funny. He does. He does look a little funny. But maybe that's why he was available. I don't know. I can just see teams taking him off their board because he's got little calves. Where at the end of the day, where is it written that you have to have big calf muscles to play receiver? You don't. And I don't necessarily need size out of my receivers. So it's all a long way of saying I like the player. I mean, it's just way, way too early. But, you know, we're doing a daily talk show. So I'll give you my daily thought. I like him. I think the kid's got a chance. And I'll say this. I'll take his profile over a N'Keal Harry profile any day of the week, where N'Keal Harry's a specimen, you know, big, strong, fast, looks like a football player, all those things. Where this kid, you look at him and you say, you know, how's he going to make it? But he can play. So, like, I'd much rather have that guy than the N'Keal Harry type. So I think maybe they got back to a little something here with that draft pick. Now, again, Maz, the last time we spoke to you was before the game. So we knew the starters weren't going to play, but how did it feel in the aftermath that they held out their offensive players and they held out the offense? Now, not only did we not see the offensive players, they hid the offense from us too. How'd you feel about that?
So it all wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. If it's, you know, like I had this perception that they were going to be like running some sort of high school offense, which I suppose on some level they were. I mean, it was pretty elementary. And, you know, I don't think that I didn't look at them in a lot of cases and say, oh, my God, they're so outclassed by the Giants. Like, I didn't feel that way. So, you know, there were a couple of guys that I noticed a little bit on defense. You know, Mac Wilson looks like he runs around a lot. So that's good. Bedard's guy, LeBrian Ray, showed up on one play. So I remember him popping up. Carl Davis was a factor on the interior of the defensive line. But again, it's hard to assess. First of all, the Giants had some of their regulars in there early.
Yeah.
They aren't one of the worst teams in the league. So, like, that's not even a great measuring stick from that standpoint, right? So, but I will say that I thought it was going to be worse, Mike.
Yeah, we all do. That's what came in the next day. I'm like, well, at least they didn't get killed.
I mean, I thought it was going to be like clown show kind of stuff.
Right, because the things we were reading out of the first couple weeks of practices, which, I just want to reiterate, I don't think were misportrayed. Given the way that they looked those first couple of weeks and not having to see it ourselves but just read it, I said to Murray, I thought they were going to come out there with their pants on backwards. Like, you know, they wouldn't know how to line up and snap the football. So, like, I think the bar was set so low with the way that they played in those first couple of weeks that when it looked like an actual NFL football, I was pleasantly surprised myself. But then I realized, Maz, that and those were none of the players running none of the plays that they had been running the first couple of weeks of camp. They went back to the old Patriots offense like that.
Correct.
That was the Patriots third down offense. Quarterback in the shotgun, inside draw, spread the field. Like, that was the Patriots offense. That's why it looked normal to us, because it was their normal offense. They still have yet to dip their toe in the water and really show us what they've been working on and failing at. And so that's, you know, that's sort of why that game meant nothing. Now, they were back at it at practice again this morning, Murray. What can you just give us a few? Give us a few reports from camp, a few tweets from camp. You got that open right now?
Yeah, give me one sec. I mean, it was mostly just shorts and shells. Pretty light day from everything I understand, because they're going to ramp up tomorrow when they go to the Carolina Panthers.
Okay, either way, you know, Bill, I guess, is saving it for these joint practices, which is kind of chicken bleep as well, Maz, when you think about it, because these joint practices are arrangements between you and another team. They're agreements. So you get together with the coach, and, you know, the coach will, as Bedard wrote, play ball with you, meaning – I want you to run a certain something here and run a certain something there and give me this look because I want to test this thing again. So as a coach, it's a controlled environment. I can see why they like it. But it's also a way to sort of baby your guys again. I wonder how Bill's going to handle it this week, if he's really going to test him this week, or if he's going to have Matt Rhule in Carolina give him certain looks so he can get certain things going, which isn't really an authentic look at all.
Well, no, and I think you got the term right. That's how I would call it. He's babying them. I think I think that became evident when we found out who was going to play in that game on Thursday and who was not. Bill says, well, these guys aren't ready.
Yeah, multiple tweets today. Slow pace to practice today. Again, shorts and shells, and they're going to wrap up tomorrow. It was apparently a good day for Nelson Agholor.
They are sleepwalking through this. I know it's intentional. I guess he's got a plan. I don't know. But, oh, my God, they just had a three-day weekend. And they came out and lollygagged today in shorts. Like, that's another thing to get into. Bill slowing down. What do you think Bill did this weekend? What do you think Bill and Matt Patricia did this weekend, if you had any guesses?
Oh, I'd say they hung out on someone's boat, probably, you know, brought a cooler with some sandwiches, brought the wives along, maybe had themselves a Narragansett or two, or Sam Adams. I don't know what particular brew of choice, but I think they were on the boat.
I mean, I don't know, but it's like, something tells me that...
Just quickly, because I don't know that you guys ever mentioned this, that Brian, the intern, brought up that Bill's boat is 8 rings and Patricia's boat is 8 onion rings.
Good line by the young lad. He's got a future.
Yeah, I thought so too.
But that's what I think they were doing. Like, do you think they're in the film room? Do you think there was someone with their coaches grinding this out? So, like,
what's to watch on film? They ran the old offense. It was Josh McDaniels might as well have been standing on the sideline for that game the other night.
And, you know, all these new coaches with this new system, are they putting in all the time that's needed to get this thing installed and running by week one? I'm curious about that, too. So those are some Patriots thoughts. Patricia spoke today, so we have some sound on that and some more thoughts coming up for you as well. So we'll mix in some Patriots with our Red Sox talk at 617-779-0985. To your calls right after the update.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
He's humble.
Why you need us.
Very humble.
You need us.
Mike Felger.
This is why you have me.
The humble half of Felger Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill, you know, you said when it comes to the play call, you're going through a process just like everything else on the team. What's the nature of that process? Is it competitive, you know, like it is for the players, where you're competing for opportunity and being evaluated?
No, that doesn't have anything to do with it.
Then how would you characterize the process?
that's, we don't have time for that. But I appreciate the question. I really do. I know how interested you are in that subject, and I'd love to be able to shed a little more light on it, but it's honestly, it's a much longer conversation.
You did shed some light. It's not competitive, so you did shed some light.
Yeah. Hey, just trying to help out.
How do you like that, Maz? Gasper and Bill have a nice little chuckle with each other, nice little laugh, huh?
Yeah, that's funny, Chris. Just trying to help you, pal.
You also weren't here on Friday, so what did you make of Bill's performance at the podium on Friday afterwards?
Yeah, so I don't understand. Like the whole thing with the play calling is still the one that drives me bananas. You know, it's so. What, we're idiots for asking this when he's clearly holding community auditions on the field? That's what the whole thing is about. Like, you know, I'm not going to get into it right now, or, you know, we'll have it figured out for you. Like, the whole vibe of this thing with the play calling to me is, I just find him to be so frustrating on this topic, Mike. The whole thing from the very beginning, I go all the way back to the Phil Perry comment back in minicamp. What plays are you going to run? Minicamp plays? Okay, so now we're in actual training camp. We're in the preseason. Can we ask now? Are we allowed? Bill, when are we allowed to ask the question?
Don't worry about it.
Can you tell us when are we allowed to ask the question about who's actually going to call the plays? Can you let us know when we're allowed? And by the way, I'm going to raise my hand. Can I go to the bathroom? Can I get a pass to go to the bathroom? Can I do that? Is that okay? What else can I do?
I mean, I want you to react to this. So I know you've all heard this over the weekend. Maz is just coming back. Let's hear the Skaz. Let's hear the first exchange from Friday night, if you could, please.
Bill, what were some of the benefits of having Joe and Matt call plays tonight?
Well, I thought it would be a good opportunity for us to do that.
Do you know if one will call plays when the regular season arrives?
Yeah, well, don't worry about that. We'll work it out.
So have you decided?
We're going through a process, just like everything else on this team.
Maz, you don't often get a don't worry about it from a head coach, do you?
Yeah, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. No, we're going through a process. Really? Is it okay to ask so? Because this is new. You didn't go through this process in other years, so we're just asking the question. And again, I understand he's got a football team to run, but does he really think it's not a point, you know, to be talked about or assessed and analyzed, for lack of a better term, when you have a second-year quarterback and, frankly, a team that's got, you know, all kinds of potential issues personnel-wise? I'm the sheer obstinance, the stubbornness of Bill on this particular issue really starting to piss me off. So again, Phil Perry asked him, well, what play, you know, asked in minicamp, what plays do you want us to call minicamp plays? As if to say the question's too early. Now they're in the preseason, they're actually calling the plays, and they're splitting up the duties. Now it's don't worry about it. So when are we okay? Week six? Do we have to wait 6 weeks? Is that it? Where is the line? Tell me when we can ask about the process and how it's working. I just think it's so, you know, honestly, again, and all the Bella chicklets out there running around that are going to kiss his ass for everything he's done over the last 20 years, which I get. Okay, he's brought a lot here. That's fine, with or without Brady. But I would say in the same breath, like, it's a disservice. It's also a disservice to the fan base. He basically spits in their face anytime he doesn't want to answer a question.
Yeah,
how about the Phil Perry exchange? Let's hear that.
Really quickly, just to follow up, if I could, you mentioned earlier with the offensive play call, you're going through a process. What do you need to see to make a final decision?
We're going through a process. Simple as that.
Okay. It's just a little bit of an unusual situation for us that have watched you guys before. And so, I mean,
what do you want me to do?
I guess we're just looking for a little clarity as to
great
why we're seeing what we're seeing.
Yeah. Going through a process.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah. No, yeah, right. You know, I'm going to use that one from now on. Well, your take doesn't make sense. What do you want me to do?
Yeah. I don't like it. Great.
Yeah. I'm going through a process. You know, talk to me again on Friday. Seriously, what a dink. I mean, seriously, what a dink. Like, do you really think that the part of me that I get irritated by is, what, you didn't expect the questions? You didn't think they were going to come? You have no offensive coordinator. You have nobody on that side of the ball that has any history or experience in calling plays, no matter how much you try to sell it to us. Then you go out and play your first preseason game. One guy calls, I think it was two series that Patricia did, and then Judge did the other eight with Zappi, right? I think.
Yeah, Judge did, yeah.
Okay, right? So you divide them up that way. So can you at least enlighten us a little on what the process is that you're talking about, or why one guy got four times as many series as the other? Are they working exclusively with quarterbacks, or what? You know, we're trying to educate ourselves here, Bill. How about a little bit of insight?
What do you want me to do?
I do like how it was mocking, you know, asking for, what, mini camp plays? Like, it doesn't matter. So now we're in training camp. So are we mocking training camp plays? Or, like, that's a good point. As I said, when does the play calling actually matter? I think they've been way too cavalier about the whole thing. I think Bill thinks he's got this in his back pocket. No big deal. Don't need extra time. Don't need specific offensive coaches. Don't need coaches that are versed in this system. I got it. Everyone else is an idiot. I'll figure it out. No problem. That's how I think he's going about this. And I think he's gone about it that way the last couple of years, and it just hasn't worked out. I'm sort of feeling the same way about this one, too. What can I tell you? All right, long commercial-free segment is next. Don't go anywhere.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. On an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Field.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger Mass.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How was the experience calling plays during the game?
I think the experience of all preseason games are, you know, really about the process of, you know, developing as a team, getting to know the chemistry with your players. It's as important for us to get to know them as them to know us in terms of how we interact on game day. Obviously, I haven't been here for a couple of years, so getting back in the fold with, you know, Coach, with Matt, with Troy, you know, even working with Cam on special teams throughout the day, you know, the in-game operation. These are all things we have to work on. No one's coached a game in months. No one's played a game in months. So for all of us, it's a new season. We have to start fresh.
Meanwhile, there's Joe Judge. He spoke today. Patricia spoke today, right? I haven't seen those cuts yet. So the judge, this is all just coming in. So I haven't heard any of this. Let me just hear one thing. Skaz is back there. If you could, Judge one, pleasantries being nice to the media. Let me hear Judge. Was he pandering to the media? There was he, what's the word we're looking for, Maz? Was he,
butt kissing?
There's another word that we used it before. Oh, there's, anyway, go ahead. Judge one being nice to the media.
All right, so Capacity House, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Andrew. Joe, hey.
Oh, God.
We met.
How's it going, guys? Good.
All right, that's fine. Whatever.
But that sounds like a sticking out his hand and shaking someone's hand. Joe, nice to meet you. Like, we know. Like, come on. Like, what are you doing here? It is. It's pandering.
But I'll tell you, Mike, the answer to the cut we played in the rejoin is precisely why I worry about Judge's ability to connect with the players, whether it's Mac Jones or anyone else. Like, I hear that comment and, you know, well, we're reacclimating ourselves to the entire process. You know, it's not human. It's not how another human being would talk to a, you know, to a fellow human. Like, now I sound like I just stepped out of the spaceship.
Right? Like, take human. Me to your humans. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. But it's that it just doesn't, he doesn't feel natural to me. There's no natural give and take or back and forth with him that, you know, if I were one of his players, I would find frustrating. And look, maybe he's different in that setting. Like, I should say that. Maybe it's the media thing that makes him uncomfortable. It's, he wouldn't be the first guy to have that happen to him. But I just, the fact that you are going through this in training camp with the start of the season now, call it, you know, 3 and 4 weeks away, that you have to worry about this process, to me, is blows my mind. I can't believe they introduced this.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that Bill hasn't done this on his own time and had it all, you know, worked out for the players. And so they can just work on the player stuff, the team stuff. Instead, he's holding training camp for coaches. Never mind training camp for players. So we've been at this for a while. But, you know, again, every day brings a new thing to sort of get on. So we're getting on it. We'll mix this and the Red Sox stuff together. All right, back to you as promised. Mike's in Brookline. Go ahead, Michael.
Guys, don't you realize that Bill is sitting in his office late in the afternoon in his underwear with a beer in his hand, Patricia and Judge in the office, and he's just laughing at the fact that the media keeps asking the same question over and over and over, and he doesn't answer it, and they spend 10 questions asking the same thing, and he's just laughing at everybody. They know exactly what's going on.
Well, so, but I don't get it. Why do you like that, Mike? Why do you get off on that?
I don't. I just think it's funny that nobody realizes what's going on.
We know what's going on.
Do you think Bill Belichick knows what he's going to do?
He might not.
Oh,
he might not.
I'm
not totally convinced of that, Mike. I'm not totally convinced of it. I think Bill still rolls out of bed and says, "I'll figure it out," and everyone else is stupid. And he doesn't wake up every day with a set plan.
I agree with. He does. I agree with the fact that he thinks everybody else is stupid. But if you think that Bill Belichick, who gives such attention to every detail of every aspect of the game,
he does?
Doesn't know what he's going to do, is ridiculous. And everybody should stop wasting their time asking him a question that he's not going to answer because he just doesn't want to.
You know, Mike, what are we supposed to do? Most of us went to journalism school. You get sent to do a story. You have to ask a question no matter what he's going to do with it. What do you want us to do? You still have to ask the question. You can't go there and not ask the question. If that's the way it's going to be, they go sell insurance, you know? So you still got to do it. Sorry, that's just the way that it works. And does Bill know what he's doing? Yeah, I think he knows what he's doing. Yeah, I mean, mostly he does. Patricia's going to be the guy. And they're grooming Joe Judge to one day be that guy. Bill's grooming Matt Patricia to be the head coach and Joe Judge to be the offensive coordinator. That's what I think Bill's doing. Is there a reason why he can't say Matt Patricia's our offensive, you know, our play caller? I don't know. There's no practical reason. Mike, there's no, if he thinks that's going to help him win football games, that's stupid. That's stupid. Is what it is it's paranoid. Like he's gaining some sort of competitive advantage by not speaking the words that Matt Patricia's calling plays when it's obvious he's holding the freaking play sheet and calling the plays, but he just can't verbalize it. Why? Does he get off too? I'm not going to answer this guy's question. And he gets off on it. This 500 football coach without Tom Brady takes some measure of satisfaction. And you do too, that he won't answer a question. What's up with that? Your team blows, but your coach is mean to the media. That does it for you. Season tickets still available. Like, God, does that blow you away, Maz?
Yeah, Felga. I just don't think he should answer your questions, Felga. That's all. He doesn't owe you nothing.
Sure doesn't. But, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, we'll see how his failed defensive coordinator head coach does calling plays for the first time. We'll see whether he says it or not. We'll see. Here's Frank and Frank on our holdover Red Sox conversation. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, so Tony, along the same lines as your comments on Tyquan Thornton, where expectations are now so low you're happy with anything. And by the way, that pick should also be evaluated in light of who went after him, especially that Pickens kid. But anyway, while I admit Tommy Pham is better than what they had, if he was signed at the beginning of the year, you would have said, who's this guy I never heard of? Another Bloom signing. So unlike Thornton, you know what Tommy Pham is. Have we been so beaten into submission by how this team has behaved but that we're now celebrating guys like Tommy Pham? Again, better than what we had, but he's just so insufficient for a team, what a team like the Sox should have in the outfield, even acknowledging you can't have all-stars everywhere. He's also less than what Benintendi or Renfro would have contributed. So please, hopefully it's not at the point where everybody's standards have been lowered so much that we'll be okay with guys like this in an absolute sense in the future, because if we are, this is what they're going to keep selling on.
I'm definitely not okay with that's not all I want them to do, Maz. It just shows it didn't take that much. It wouldn't have taken that much to fill out the roster and plug some holes. That's what Tommy Pham represents. How easy it was to get a fourth outfielder and a freaking first baseman.
I mean, so people, I've had a lot of this over the last week, as we all have, but people say to me, you know, when I get back to the ballpark on Friday night, say, well, you know, Pham and Hosmer have made a difference. And my answer is because they're big league players. That's why. They're not great. Tommy Pham's really a platoon guy. He's a guy that hits lefties, doesn't hit righties, and can play, you know, 2 or 3 days a week. Tops. They're playing him every day. So are they, you know, getting more out of him or trying to than they should be? Yes. And Eric Hosmer, listen, Eric Hosmer is a fraction of the player he was when he was at his peak in Kansas City. Watch his swing. He's having trouble catching up to fastballs. There's a reason he's hitting the ball on the ground all the time. Okay, he just doesn't get there anymore. So there's not a lot of power there. But you know what he is? He's a veteran big league player who's past his prime that can, you know, catch the ball and be functional on a day-to-day basis. That's all he is. And to your point, Mike, it just shows you how low the bar was for them to have the kind of season that they should have and could have had if they had just put a little bit more into a couple of those spots. That's all.
Just doesn't take that much. You know what I think we just did too, by the way, boys? I think we just got this connected. Skaz, do me a favor.
Oh, yeah.
I'm on tie line one, okay? Tie one. Hold 1 second.
No, that sounds better.
Can you hear me now?
Oh!
How's that?
Is that a little better?
That's professional sounding.
Okay. It's just a skosh better. I got a little echo in my ear. Skaz, we can take care of that in the break. But there we go. An actual broadcast signal. Only 2 hours, that.
Yeah, you just turned your own level down.
Yeah,
that's okay.
You got to turn your level back up.
Okay, so what did I do? All right, we'll figure this out. All right, but I slowly but surely, we're getting there. And this echo in my ear, I have an acid trip or something. Here's an update. No commercials, and we're right back. Don't go anywhere.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.